You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
I have no time for games, yet I always seem to be in them.
And Daryl.
Don't be a noob. Only I'm allowed to do that.
Greetings and welcome to take two of episode 113 of the Training Dummies, recorded on December 15th, 2015. Here's where I'm going to talk about probably my Resto Shaman being my main, like I always do. But I also co-main a Destruction Warlock, and that's going to be important here right away. With me this evening, as always, is Rob. How you doing, Rob?
We don't edit, so this is take one.
Right, exactly. That's exactly it.
I'm good, man. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. We haven't been doing this that often since we got back from BlizzCon, but I'm excited for this episode.
You should be, man. I'm excited for this episode for you.
Right on. Well, the reason for that excitement is we have Ferdy himself with us this evening. How are you doing, sir?
That's a pretty radical intro, guys. I like it a lot. I'm doing very well. Good to be here.
The intro has evolved over the years, but it's maintained its soul, and I love it. It's fun.
Yeah, I love it a lot, too.
That was a Noobarak? Was that the whole noob thing?
Yeah, it was.
That was freaking awesome.
I know. I thought it was fitting for this evening. Oh, and before we get going, let's have a round of applause for our guest, of course.
Of course. Yep.
I'm rusty.
That's piped rusty. In from the future. Everybody who's listening to this episode yes. In their car is clapping for you. But Ferdy, thanks for coming on the show, man. I really appreciate it. It seemed like kind of short notice, but it worked out. So I'm really, really happy.
Me too, honestly. And I'm in like a super good mood. Been kind of working my way through the Star Wars movies. So got the hype in 2 days.
Oh, dude, yes.
Really looking forward to
that.
Oh
my gosh. Yeah, I've been wearing at least one Star Wars item of clothing all week. So I'm super hyped. When are you going to go see it?
I am going to see it. I think it's the first show where I am. Mm-hmm. Thursday, 10 p.m., like two-thirds of the way up the theater.
Awesome.
It's very prime.
Nice.
Yeah, we had a Thursday at 7 p.m., I think that's what.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hyped, man. I'm ready to do it. Daryl, did you get your tickets yet?
No, I'll watch it in a couple weeks.
Dang,
for real.
Oh, it's going to be rough, man. It's going to be rough to stay spoiler free. Like,
yeah, I know. Whatever. It's a movie. I'm excited for it.
Let me just ruin it for you real quick. Darth Vader is Luke's dad. So,
oh, my God. Mind blown.
Ferdy, we're going to just get to know you a little bit, and then we'll get into the really good stuff. But where did you start playing Warcraft, and what is your current main?
I started playing quite some time ago, and basically about a month after the game came out. It was like the very end of 2004, and I basically got coerced into playing it by some friends in elementary school, actually, like the end of elementary school.
Oh, and, dear Lord. Don't say yeah, stuff like and, that.
Yeah, man. And basically, we were all playing like RuneScape at the time, and that was like my first transition to a whole different kind of MMO, and I ended up kind of the classic intro to the game that when friends get you into it, I ended up being the healer, the priest healer early on.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much pigeonholed into the last role available that no one wanted to play. But over the years, I ended up playing just about everything at least once as a main. And after they redesigned Warlock and Mists of Pandaria, basically landed on that. And to date, it's been my favorite class just because it's got a very unique resource system, very separate from the other classes. And it's kind of going bye-bye in Legion, but it's been great for the last couple of years, because that's what I've stuck with.
I have a question, then, before we get into some of this other stuff, then. What would you say right now is the number one Warlock spec?
It's kind of tough. It's gonna totally vary with your priority. For progression, like if your goal is the best chance of killing the boss, then you pretty much play Destruction on the majority of the encounters. But if you're looking at stuff like top parses, you know, what does the most damage on a speed kill, like Affliction starts to pull away a little bit. So
But Destruction is super viable, super good. It's
very jack of all trades, and it's got really good synergy with a lot of the priorities and encounters, which is typically like bursting down the important stuff.
I love hearing that. Cool. Right
on. So do I. Sweet. What is the origin of the name Ferdy?
Sometimes I can run my mouth forever and just never stop talking. And but at the same time, like a lot of the stuff that I like to do in real life, like reading and all the sports that I enjoy are kind of solitary ones, like skiing and mountain biking. I'm not really a team player with sports. And so I'm really comfortable in my own silence in that respect. So it's actually a portmanteau of the words furtive and chatty. And it's actually a way I was described by someone like many, many eons ago, and I somehow just formed it into an alias.
Right on.
That's awesome. What would you say is your most fond memory in or because of? We could say WoW, but maybe gaming in general.
I think that's like I couldn't even begin to pin down anything. It certainly in WoW, progress for me in the new raid tiers. Kind of a highlight because I've always been a hardcore raider, and when you sort of push really hard at the beginning of a tier and you compress, you know, all of the high-end progression into a couple weeks, playing many hours a day for that period, it's kind of like a fraternity, like a nerd fraternity, right? Like all these you know, playing together for 10-12 hours a day for like 2 or 3 weeks, you get all these crazy inside jokes and good memes going, and certainly there's some like high tension and frustration, but there's also like everyone has to have a high spirits to keep the momentum going. So progress is always something that it's amazing, and I look forward to it every, you know, 6 to 8 months. BlizzCon this year was also a huge highlight. I'd never been to the con before, and my buddy Sleepbag and I traveled out to New Orleans for Halloween with some other friends, and we spent a couple days there over Halloween, and then we went to BlizzCon itself, and that trip was it was fantastic. I don't even know where to begin with that trip, but
this year was my first as well, and it was just phenomenal.
Yeah, it was off the hook, and hopefully the beginning of many more trips. But
besides Warcraft, what is your favorite Blizzard title?
It's a tongue twister.
Yeah, I get a solo on Overwatch. I don't really play anything else made by Blizzard. I've tried, like, I usually enjoy stuff like, you know, Hearthstone. I can play a little bit of it. Like, once every 6 months, I can play, like, a week of Hearthstone.
I understand I'm not really, that.
Yeah. Like, they're all, Blizzard hits a bunch of different genres. And the other genres, like, StarCraft and RTS in general, like the original Warcraft. I love the cutscenes in those games, but it's not really my style or my speed. And it's same with Heroes. Like, it sort of came out a little bit late. I was already super into other MOBAs like Dota. Uh-huh. And so definitely Overwatch right now. I think it's something that, unlike Heroes, is actually like first to the table of like a new kind of game that sort of combines heroes from similar to MOBAs with first-person shooters. So I've had a lot of fun with it in the beta stage.
Right on.
Yeah, man. I'm so psyched for Overwatch. I've been in the beta, played a little bit, but it is, I don't know, there's something about the actual IP itself, just the universe, the characters, and the everything about it that I'm just, whether or not the game is good, and we know it's going to be good, like, I almost don't care. I'm so excited about like everything else around it. But
yeah, the game itself is like, even just the visuals and the story is super vivid and like just luminescent. Like, just looking at it, it's like already seems very fun, and it's just exciting to be playing the game.
What would you say is your favorite raid boss of all time?
That's another really tough one, because I definitely like I think my absolute favorite, I'd have to say, is Lei Shen. Because it mixes a lot of the newer, more complex raid mechanics with just an absolutely great time in the game for me, where I was having a ton of fun. But I have like a huge list of stuff where it was very nostalgic. Like my first Miru kill was huge. My first I think actually Thaddeus in original Naxxramas was crazy. That was like when I was like, oh man, I've made it. Like, this is so fun. Like 40 man rating. Like, ah. So yeah, there's a lot of highlights. And a lot of it depends on how much fun I was having. Like Ulduar was probably like the most fun I ever had playing WoW. Even though it wasn't like my most successful tier. And I definitely have more of a bias towards the newer tiers because fights continually get harder and more complex as the game goes on. And I tend to appreciate that a lot more than the sort of rose tinted glasses. So, but I'd settle on Lei Shen. I think that fight was fantastic. What about you guys?
Oh, okay. Rob, you go first. I got to think about this one.
You know, some of my favorite ones are when I really hit a stride in raiding, and it was even in Cataclysm. Like, I know that Dragon Soul isn't really regarded as like everyone's favorite raid or most popular raid, but that's for me like when our raid team really just hit this point where like it clicked with me and I was doing really good and working really hard and it was paying off and it's big numbers and I was really kind of figuring out how to properly play the game on a rating level. So there's a lot of fights in Dragon Soul that kind of stuck out for me that I really, really liked. Even in Blackwing Descent and Bastion Twilight. I don't know, anyone in particular maybe. I know we worked really hard at like Nefarian in Blackwing Descent. We worked really hard on that fight and we finally got it and it just felt really good at that time. It just stuck out to me.
Yeah, I'm around the same time. I think Deathwing for close to the same reason. Because we got it before they put any of the nerfs in. Like, just, I think we made it by like a week.
And yeah, it was like a week or two before.
You know, we had our 10-man team, and we finally had a consistent group that was, you know, the same 10 there every time. And we were finally able to make progression and good progression. And just that fight was intense. Like, it was so much fun and to finally be able to beat it. And, you know, before any nerfs came in, any of that, and we got it. And it was such an amazing feeling. So I know like Rob had mentioned, it's not everyone's favorite boss or favorite raid, but that's probably my favorite raid boss just because of how we beat it and when we were able to take it down.
Right. Yeah, that's rad. That was actually the only tier that I never raided. I missed out on all the madness. I guess the fun and the nightmares, depending on who you ask.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, no, that's awesome.
Well, I know you had mentioned Lei Shen and Throne of Thunder for us was when things kind of fell apart for a while.
Exactly.
So we kind of missed that whole tier.
Just LFR.
We did some of the very beginning of Mists of Pandaria. We did Mogoshan Vaults, a little bit of Heart of Fear, and maybe barely started to get into Terrace, and then it just fell apart from there. And we kind of rebuilt from the ground up for Siege of Orgrimmar, so we missed all the Throne of Thunder stuff. So, yep, it was nothing but LFR at that time, really.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I know, that was a really, really popular... I mean, I pugged it a little here and there, and I was really, really heavy into the Mistweaver Monk at that time and having a lot of fun with it. But, yeah, it was, you know... It was good to rebuild. I'm glad we're in a good place now.
Yeah, definitely. I almost hate to ask this question, but what is your favorite thing to do in game right now?
Log out.
Yeah, definitely. It's that time of farm for me where, and it was the same in MoP really. It's just there's a certain point where there's not much to do for me. I'm a raider first and foremost, and once progression's over. I don't have any interest. I did in the past, but at this point, you know, 11 years into the game, I don't have any interest in doing achievements and doing dailies, in upgrading my gear. Like, it's so I spend a lot of time AFK in Shrine and in my garrison, and I guess now that I'm raiding with a new guild, a guild that just formed, like it's basically Primordial, and that's actually a highlight of my week, just this new group of guys together, and it's been extraordinarily positive of an environment, and even though it's only like 2 hours once a week, I have a lot of fun every Thursday. So That's definitely a highlight.
It's got to be, you know, at least for now, getting to know people and, you know, getting all the synergy worked out and all that kind of stuff. It feels good, even if the content's kind of old hat.
For sure. And there's like, it's kind of hit the point like where it's still not stale enough that it feels like a chore. Like you log on and you're like, okay, you know, let's clear the raid. And everyone's kind of in high spirits. And again, even though it's only like a once a week event, it's a good time.
Nice. Yeah, definitely.
Rob, do you have any bonus questions?
No, I asked my little warlock thing and we'll actually get into that now here in a sec. Yes. So.
Oh yeah, I do not either.
Well, if you guys have any questions or comments or just want to find out what we're doing, we are active on Twitter. You can reach the show at @TrainingDummies. I am at Rob Copeland and Daryl is at @Hend_TTD. Do you want to open it up or what do you want me to
Yeah, start? Yeah. So we're talking Destruction Warlocks tonight, and that is the class and spec I play the most, though I still won't say it's my main. but anyway, I really wanted to do this episode because there's some fights in Hellfire right now that I can do really well on. The council fight in particular. And I think it's, you know, cause I can just stand there in the center of the room and I can hit all three at the same time if I want to. I'm able to get good use out of Havoc and then there's other fights where I just tank and I don't know why that is. So I'm kind of hoping you can help and, just even in letting, you know, us how to properly play or how we should be playing a Destruction Warlock or what they're good at or some way so that I can just bring my DPS up a bit on fights where I have to move, basically. If I have to move at all, it just seems my DPS tanks. So that's part of why I'm really looking forward to this is to find out how I can improve my game. This is totally 100% self-serving episode, like no question.
Okay, so you came into Destruction Warlock. Was it with when Destruction was kind of at a high point, right? In Pandaria.
Yeah,
it was. The AoE was really strong. You were able to cast while you were moving. Like a lot of things that kind of made it shine. Right.
Yeah, that's definitely what it was. I think it was right around when our raid team fell apart, basically. Is when I started to pick up the Destruction Warlock. I was in a five-man group. I remember it was a Sunday morning. Me and Hoofit went into, it was Mogushan Palace, and we had a Destruction Warlock in there, and he was lighting it up. Like, it was just annihilating everything. And I was just amazed. And that's what made me really want to play the Warlock. So that's why I picked it up and fell in love with Destruction. So now I want to get back to being able to blow stuff up all the time, basically.
So Ferdy, do you think that Warlock has, the Destruction Warlock has changed a lot with Warlords?
Yeah. Not necessarily rotationally, but the essence of the class, in terms of how easy it is to pick up and what's important, has changed considerably, particularly with the removal of the old Kil'jaeden's Cunning, which I'm sure we'll get into in a little while. But the class is much, well, the spec, I guess, is much more punishing than it was in previous expansions. And I think that in the past, Destruction was always kind of like a easy to learn, kind of moderately hard to master. And it's sort of changed to become more like Arcane Mage, which is easy to learn. Like, you look at it and you're like, oh, I have like five or six spells and that are important, but then the high level optimization is considerable compared to a lot of other specs.
Well, maybe we could just kind of start at the beginning. We could go through the talents and the glyphs and start there and see what a lot of this stuff changes from fight to fight, but we could just run down the list and see like what's important and what you want to do for a Destruction Warlock.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess start with talents. It's a good place to start whenever you're playing a class. I'm gonna go down them just tier by tier.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
It's pretty cut and dry, to be honest.
Okay.
There's not a whole lot of. In fact, I don't think I changed my talents at all on any fight. in the entire tier. But I mean, just
that's nice because
I don't either.
Here, what we're going to see here, if you're doing the right thing or not.
Just for argument's sake, I'll give an overview of all of them. The first tier is primarily focused on defense. You have Dark Regeneration, Soul Leech, and Searing Flames. Dark Regeneration gives you a small heal, and it more importantly gives you a boost to the healing that you take. Soul Leech gives you a shield for 15% of the damage you do with Incinerate, Shadowburn, and Chaos Bolt, and it caps at 15% of your maximum health. This talent's actually a lot better for destruction than it is for the other two Warlock specs, because for the other two Warlock specs, it only affects very minor filler abilities like Shadow Bolt, and for Affliction, it's like Haunt and Drain Soul, but not the dots. So this, the shield stacks very slowly for the other specs, but because it affects Chaos Bolt and Shadowburn, which are your heavy hitters, you'll often find that you're not taking damage even when damage is hitting you because you have this huge shield stacked on yourself. So that's it's a very strong option. And then Searing Flames, which is a boost to the Ember Tap ability. In raiding, you only use Soul Leech. Dark Regeneration has extraordinarily niche and situational use. The only fight this entire expansion that I would really recommend this talent was Koreg in Heimal. So an example of a situation would be that fight when you're taking extremely focused damage. If you were one of the soakers that wanted to build up your shield in the center during the intermission, damage reduction cooldowns were not effective. They didn't work. That damage pierced damage reductions. However, Dark Regeneration is a personal boost to the healing you receive. So it made Warlocks one of the strongest classes to deal with that mechanic. The only other time I would advocate use of this talent is on fights where the primary threat to your survival, you're not dealing damage, so Soul Leech isn't effective. So an example of that could be Orgorger during the roll phase. If you're out of range of healers and you're not able to hit the boss, could give you a little extra chance. But otherwise, you're going to be definitely an HFC, Soul Leech, 100% of the fights.
All right, we're one for right. one.
One for one, yep. Rob's got mine open, I know it.
Thumbs up.
I might.
The second tier is pretty simple as well. Hall of Terror is an AoE fear. Most of the mobs and raids are immune to fear, at least to this fear effect. And mostly AoE fears are pretty disruptive to your strategy, so this talent has never been used in WoD. Mortal Coil is also pretty bad for the reason that there's basically nothing that you can fear with this, and if the fear effect isn't successful, then you don't get the healing return. It's not like even a filler global that you can use as a self-heal. It's just if it doesn't fear something. And generally speaking, it's the same as Howl. You don't want something running in a random direction, even if you can fear it. Shadow Fury incapacitates the targets for the same amount of time as Mortal Coil, and it's an AoE. And it's a shorter cooldown, and you have a lot more control over it because it's reticle targeted and not based off a single target. So the default option is always Shadow Fury.
One for two. All right.
All right.
Well,
that's
I have...
All right. That's not an important tier. It's like just utility, right? So
I have Mortal Coil because I used to think it was I for the self-heal effect, and I didn't know when I originally took it that it had to fear. However, I learned about, I'm going to say a month and a half ago, that it does need to fear in order to get that heal. And you're not fearing any of the bosses. So it's ineffective against them, but I just haven't bothered to change it. So
right.
Yeah, I used it a lot for questing.
I can't really think of Shadow Fury like being super useful in any of the fights this tier. Like you have Zul'Harak, you have the little imps, and Manoroth, you also have the imps. A lot of imps this tier, and Sokrathar, maybe you want to hit the ghosts if they're getting out of the fire lines or something. But I mean, it's really just like a extra button.
Yeah. Okay. Next one.
I'm going to skip the level 45 tier for now, because that's arguably the most important tier, the one with the most player choice, and it ties in very heavily to the grimoires. So we'll just go over that one after the grimoires.
Okay.
Just to avoid confusion. The level 60 tier, pretty much the default choice is Burning Rush, just because we don't have a baseline movement increase, and it's a really strong movement increase given that it lasts forever. 4% of your health per second as a cost to fuel it, and on any real raid encounter, that's a pretty insignificant cost. So if you have a really extended movement phase, for example, the dance on Mythic Archimonde, you have the Seething Corruption that goes on for like 15 seconds, and then you have to stack at a certain point, and there's basically like a lot of extended movement on fights this tier, and that's arguably the strongest movement increase of any class. So that's a great choice. Unbound Will is another good choice. However, it's got a really high cost. It costs 20% of your max health, and it's just a dispel, and sacrificing like a 50% movement increase that has no cooldown and no duration for a single dispel, especially if you're Alliance and you're a human, you can get that dispel for free.
but no one plays Alliance.
Yeah, just I would say Unbound Will is highly overrated. It's basically like it doesn't work on a lot of stuff anyways. So, and then Blood Horror is a fear that you can activate that if something melees you, it'll run away in fear. This isn't really used in PvE at all. So just ignore it.
Okay, so 1 for 3. Got it.
Oh no.
Hey man,
I have Unbound Will.
Yeah, I mean that talent's fine. It's just especially with the lack of Kill Jadens being a sort of staple, it's better to make very efficient use of your movement because destruction is a spec that gets slaughtered by movement now. So
yes,
man, that Burning Rush is just so good.
I've it's never really good used that back. Before. I'm gonna have to. I'll have to figure that one out. Okay.
The Grimoires is one of the major tiers in the past, but it's pretty straightforward, this expansion. For destruction, pretty much always play Grimoire of Sacrifice, and this ties in really heavily to your 100 talent. But when you sacrifice a demon, you gain increase to Incinerate, Chaos Bolt, and Shadow Burn by 25%. This doesn't apply to your AoE, to your Fire and Brimstone, but... And this is contrary to popular belief. There's a lot of people who think that they should play one of the pet Grimoires in challenge modes because it's a lot of AoE or something. But Sacrifice actually gets better the more AoE there is, because typically when there's a lot of mobs, when you're AoEing, like there's no AoE, there's no boss fight that's an extended 6-minute AoE, right? Whenever there's AoE, it's very temporary. So you're doing a lot of shadow burning. So the more AoE there is, the better Sacrifice is, because you're doing a lot more shadow burning and a lot more havoc cleaving with the shadow burns. The other two Grimoires, we don't touch them at all. Service, very, very marginally better than Supremacy. If you were to ever toy with those Grimoires, Service is very slightly better because it lines up with your primary DPS cooldown and the pet benefits from that. And then Supremacy is not used at all. The other huge benefit of Sacrifice that will tie into the level 45 talents is that it provides you with a extraordinarily powerful defensive cooldown called Shadow Bulwark. And that you get that when you sacrifice a Voidwalker, and it gives you, I think, 30% increase to your maximum health for 20 seconds. And tying that into the 45 talents, such as Sacrificial Pact, it boosts the size of your shield as well. And Soul Link, I guess I can talk about those now. Soul Link, when you sacrifice a pet, normally it splits damage with your pet by 20%, so it's 20% damage reduction. Mm-hmm. When you sacrifice a pet and you have Soul Link, you gain a 25% increase to maximum health. So when you pair that with the Shadow Bulwark cooldown that you get from Sacrifice, a fully geared Mythic Warlock is looking at over 1 million health. And for that period, you're basically unkillable. Like, nothing in the game does 1 million damage.
That's ridiculous, man.
Except one-shots, right? So that's... really strong. Sacrificial Pact is kind of a mediocre cooldown. Sorry, I should have said the default choice for just about every fight is Soul Link.
Okay.
Sacrificial Pact is kind of mediocre for the reason that it sacrifices 20% of your demon's current health. If you're playing with Sacrifice, which we are, sacrifices 20% of your health. I should bold current health. For a shield 400% of that size. So it's really, really good. I guess what the conclusion is, it's really, really good as a preemptive cooldown, but typically like people want to pop that in a reactionary way. So if you take damage and then you pop Sacrificial Pact, for example, if you take damage, you're down at 50. Yeah, exactly. Like the size of the shield is cut down considerably. So what this talent is good for is fights like Zul'Harak. If you have a Warlock, maybe solo soaking a black hole, and they know they're going to soak it, they can say, give me a power word shield, pop Sacrificial Pact, and walk into the black hole, and then they have the maximum effectiveness. So this talent is really only used when you have premeditated soaking that you can't handle with Soul Link. And then Dark Bargain, 3-minute cooldown, and it prevents all damage taken for 8 seconds. And it's important to note that this isn't a immunity, it's an absorb. So it functions differently than immunities. Going back to Korag, if you were standing in the center, which pierces all damage reductions, because this is considered a healing absorb, you actually are able to dark bargain and not take any damage. So the only two fights this has really been used on this expansion were Korag and also, it was also great on Korag because there was the falling magic from the sky, and that pierced all immunities, but it didn't pierce dark bargain because there was an absorb. It's also really, really good on super tight in rage fights, where at the cutting edge, the entire raid might die. It's good to have dark bargain for an extra 8 seconds of hitting the boss while the boss rampages around killing everyone. And that could save a kill. So the only two fights where I've seen this used are Butcher and Korag, but, it can be extraordinarily strong in the right situation. Also, after the effect ends, you take 50% of the damage over 8 seconds. That's a shadow dot, which means that it is affected by shadow damage reductions and also by Hand of Purity. So you can basically eliminate this disadvantage of the talent by just having a paladin purity you.
Awesome. Right. Okay, now that we did that, if we go back to Grimoire of Sacrifice, so what... I normally sacrifice the one that gives me the spell interrupt. I can't remember the name now. I'm drawing a blank.
Spell Hunter, yeah.
That's the one. So you're saying that I should be doing the Voidwalker.
Definitely in raid content, the Voidwalker is the default. There are some situations, for example, challenge modes, where interrupts are very important, that you'd want to sacrifice the Fel Hunter. But, I mean, Warlocks really don't see themselves in interrupt duty that often. Especially in raids, there's almost nothing to interrupt that is not better done by a melee. So yeah, I would definitely default to the Voidwalker.
Okay, so and then
it's good to know.
Yeah. So then using that ability and then having Soul Link makes me unkillable. Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much.
Okay.
it feels good to like dwarf a tank's HP by like double. So it's really strong, honestly. And you can also use it. You can use it preemptively, like, okay, I know there's a big damage hit coming in, I want to boost my health by a lot. But you can also use max health increases reactively. Like, if you take a big hit, you can use it as like a pseudo health stone, because your health will go up by 30% instantly. Eventually that effect will fade, but this is such a long effect, it's 20 seconds in duration, that there's no risk or backlash to that.
Okay, right on. See, I'm learning stuff already. This is awesome.
Perfect.
Radical.
Love it.
Okay, level 90.
This is another super black and white tier. You have Kil'jaeden's Cunning, which has basically been changed from being awesome to being
not awesome.
Really crappy version of Spirit Walkers. Every 35 seconds, you get 8 seconds of movement. But Destro is a very consistent rotation. Like, there isn't like a big dump every 35 seconds. There's really nothing to line this up with.
Mm-hmm.
And you can usually sort of eliminate the usefulness of this talent through proper play, like proper use of your Demonic Circle, which is also like a 30-second cooldown, and proper use of Burning Rush, and just proper like fundamental positioning on raid bosses. And then Menoroth's Fury increases the AoE and damage of your Rain of Fire by 500% for 10 seconds, but Rain of Fire has been neutered, and this talent is also useless. Archimonde's Darkness gives your primary cooldown Dark Soul 2 charges. And this is actually fantabulous, because for a variety of reasons, not just having extra damage, but gives Warlocks more flexibility than almost any other class. In fact, I think more than any other class, because there's a lot of bosses on progression where your raid leader might say, okay, you know, Shadow Lord Iskar, we got the adds coming out and we really want to burn down this one ad, save your cooldowns, because it's going to be a minute into the fight. Warlocks don't have to save their cooldowns because you have 2 charges, and it's very efficient, because you can use the first charge on the pole and that charge will be cooling down, and then the adds come out and you still have an extra cooldown in your back pocket.
Awesome. Good deal. Okay.
I do have that one. I'm good there.
I'm glad. I'm very glad on that tier.
Okay. And then 100.
Yeah. This tier is also super, super basic. You have the 3 talents, Charred Remains, Cataclysm, and Demonic Servitude. Charred Remains is really the only option right now. Basically doubles your ember generation, but halves the damage of your ember generating abilities. These abilities really weren't that good to begin with in terms of damage output, so it's a very fair trade. And the double ember generation means that you basically shift all of your damage to your ember consuming spells, namely Chaos Bolt. But also, I mean, you get to cast a few more Shadowburns here and there. And this is just really, really good because it synergizes really, really well with Mastery, which is our best stat by a lot. But I guess we could get into that in a little bit. And then Cataclysm on the same tier just gives you a 1 minute cooldown of a big AoE nuke. And this isn't really that good on anything. In fact, you don't use any of the other two talents on anything. Cataclysm has like some limited use in challenge modes, but in raid content, nothing. And then Demonic Servitude, also no use.
So the good thing about Destruction Warlock, the thing that kind of like is the ooh and ah that everybody loves, is the Chaos Bolts. So basically, this Charred Remains makes it where you're putting out, what, twice as many Chaos Bolts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the very least. Because it also it gives you a little bit more forgiveness in a lot of situations where there's adds. I think one of the fundamental mistakes actually gives you a lot of forgiveness in several areas. Definitely on ad fights, though, a lot of Warlocks get punished because they get so caught up in casting Chaos Bolts or spamming Shadowburn or something, and maybe the Shadowburn expires before the mob dies, or maybe they just don't even have an Ember to Shadowburn. Then that mob dies, they get no Embers back. But with Charred Remains, you have so many more Embers to play with. You always will have an Ember to Shadowburn with. And if you don't, and you can usually generate one inside of 5 seconds, like Conflagrate, Incinerate, I have an Ember. Like, it's very, very forgiving. And one of the major keys with the old Destruction Rotation was using the Backdraft stacks from Conflagrate on Incinerate, because it would give you significantly more Ember generation per minute. But that's not really an issue with Charred Remains, because you're already swimming in Embers, and yeah, for that reason alone, actually.
Well, I think you did pretty well then, Daryl, huh?
Well, I need to change my Shadow Fury to Shadow Fury Burning Rush. And I need to start sacrificing my Void Walker instead of... man, I'm drawing a blank again.
The Hound.
Fell Hunter, dude.
Yeah, Fell Hunter. Holy cow.
Yeah.
It's just like the Bob Marley pet.
It's a little dreadlock.
Dog. Okay, so yeah. I got a couple changes there anyway, I see. So that's good. That's good. What about glyphs?
There's not a whole lot to talk about. We don't have a whole lot of interesting glyphs. Definitely, if I were to ever say there's one mandatory glyph for all Warlock specs, it's the Glyph of Eternal Resolve. And it basically replaces your primary defensive Unending Resolve with passive 10% damage reduction. So this talent's awesome, because whenever people really complain about Warlocks, like, oh, they can't die, like people make jokes all the time, like, oh, Warlock, haha, doesn't take damage, stuff like that. I mean, what that is in reference to is the talent Soul Link and the Glyph Eternal Resolve. And combined, those form like a 30% effective health increase. So I guess what that means to you as a shaman is you have passive Sham Rage when you're playing with Soul Link in this glyph, which is pretty disgusting.
What do you think about the Glyph of Siphon Life, then? I thought that one would seem pretty good, but...
Siphon Life is all right. I would say this glyph is highly overrated, just because it's extraordinarily rare that you will ever take lethal damage because you didn't have like a 1% heal taking for 3 seconds or something.
Well,
like,
you know, over the course of a fight, you know, you keep...
It's definitely true that over the course of a fight, sometimes, particularly, I mean, only really on AoE, it can accrue some reasonable healing, because when you put out, like a Fire and Brimstone Immolate on, you know, 20 targets, like, it's definitely going to be healing for a lot of health per second. But just in general, like, lethal damage is very, very rarely taking damage. Like, it's very rarely creep. Like, it's almost always a burst of damage. Like, I stood in this mechanic and I got punished. And this will, like, absolutely never save you. It's just kind of like, I need a glyph slot.
So especially this glyph, like, in a
is not raid, a negative,
like with a raid boss single target, that's not going to do enough to make a difference.
I usually slot Siphon Life just because there's a complete lack of other good glyphs. I can go over each of the glyphs really quick, and there's actually quite a few trap glyphs, which which are glyphs that, well, that's what I call them, glyphs that sort of suck players into doing something that actually is detrimental to their class. And
Glyphs are, that would be good.
Havoc is a big one. People look at it and they're like, oh wow, I can cast twice as many spells. And really, Havoc's a 15-second cooldown, and Glyph of Havoc gives you twice as many charges, but the cooldown is increased by 35 seconds. So the cooldown is more than doubled. And
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And there's actually a technique that I call pre-Havocing that you can do with Havoc. Havoc is a 14-second duration and a 15-second cooldown. So if you watch your timers correctly, you can apply Havoc well in advance. The ad spawns. Use your Havoc 2 or 3 seconds later. You apply Havoc again. Use it again. So you can actually get the effect of Glyph of Havoc for free, and making this glyph basically useless. This glyph, really, the only time it is actually useful, this entire expansion, and even then, I would argue that it isn't that great. But on Mythic Archimonde, when the Infernals spawn, if you want to burst them down really quickly, you can, that way you can put Havoc on 2 Infernals instead of putting 1 Havoc on the boss in advance and then the 2nd Havoc on the Infernal. But otherwise, I would never advocate use of that glyph. Then another one is Dark Soul. The Dark Soul glyph is really bad for all Warlock specs except Demo. And the reason is just because it cuts down your uptime a lot. When you have the 2 charges of 20 seconds each, and then you go down to 2 charges of 10 seconds each, like very simple face value math, you can see you've lost uptime on a 3-minute fight. Or just any length fight. The longer the fight gets, the less uptime you lose, obviously. But just in general, like, destruction pairs really well with sort of a longer burn. That way you can fit a little bit more ember generation in. This pairs well with the ring when you have a 20-second Dark Soul instead of a 10-second Dark Soul that only covers 2/3 of the ring. Demon training is another one. We don't use pets, but even if we did, people often get sucked into this glyph. A point in it that says your Imp's Firebolt cast time is reduced by 50% in fires and bursts of 3. People are always like, oh damn, my Imp is going to do like so much more damage. Like, well, this is such a cool glyph. And the truth is that your Imp is actually, it doesn't have mana, it has energy. And so the faster it casts, the faster it bankrupts itself on energy. And it just basically equates to it doing the same damage. It just stands there waiting to regenerate energy as it casts faster.
Jeez.
So just a waste of a glyph slot. Other glyphs that are potentially useful, actually, Conflagrate is good if you just want to free slow. There's a lot of fights where this could be useful, like Void Stars on Archimonde. Just apply Conflagrate right away, it's slowed. Same with the adds that come out of the portal on Archimonde at the end, the Tears, I think they're called, Nether Tear. Demonic Circle is a really good glyph on certain fights, but it is very niche. So there's fights like Blackhand where Demolition, it occurs like every 30 seconds. But if you have the Demonic Circle glyph, it allows you to portal in the game, there's a lot of mechanics that occur every 30 seconds. And it's advantageous to be able to have a little bit more flexibility on your Demonic Circle. And that way you can portal every time you get the mechanic or every time the mechanic happens.
Okay. How about Healthstone?
That glyph is really only effective when paired with Dark Regen. So basically you would play Dark Regen on the fights that I mentioned, like Korag and potentially Orc Warder, and then you could use the Healthstone glyph with that because Dark Regen gives you the health, the healing taken increase, and then you pair it with the Healthstone glyph, and it gives you a lot more healing over time. But in general, this is a sort of another bit of a trap glyph because the primary benefit of a Healthstone or a healing tonic is to save your life. Like, holy shit, I just took a huge thump to my health bar. I need something now, something that a healer can't give me. So you hit your panic button. And if you're playing with Glyph of Hellstone, that effect is completely useless, right? It's gone. So that's another premeditated, like, hey, I'm going to, you know, in Korag, for instance, I'm standing in a circle. I'm going to be taking a lot of damage over 10 seconds. This is probably a good time for me to take this glyph.
Good to know.
Taking note.
I think the last glyph that is highly useful and highly underrated is the Glyph of Soulstone. This glyph is actually really good on progression, and the reason is just because Soulstone's kind of a useless button as a battle res, but it's really good as sort of like, hey, I know this target has a high risk of dying. For example, your main tank. Hey, this guy's probably going to go down. He's under-geared. This is early in the progression tier. Like, he's probably going to be taking some big hits. The advantage of Soulstone over other battle reses, especially when it's premeditated like that, is that it resurrects the player where they died and not where you are. So, for example, if a druid does the battle res, which is sort of the ideal candidate for that, they're almost always going to be rezzed in the range group. And that way the tank has to run back to melee, and maybe he has aggro on a mob still and it runs out of the melee stack. Like, it's sort of disruptive for that player. So having the soulstone glyph and always soulstoning your tanks or other high-risk players before the pull can be very useful for them.
Awesome.
Pro tip.
How about stats?
Stats? It's pretty cut and dry. Warlock's pretty simple, this expansion, with regard to, like, you don't have to change stuff around too much. It's actually always been like that for the last couple expansions. It's just like mastery, mastery, mastery for all the specs. And it's the same with destruction. Mastery is your best stat. The mastery for Warlock increases the damage of your ember-consuming spells by 3% per 110 mastery, I believe. It's either 100 or 110. And then, but not of anything else. So only of the ember-consuming spells. And by that, I mean Chaos Bolt and Shadowburn. The next best stat is Critical Strike. And Critical Strike increases your ember generation. Every time you crit, you generate double embers. And Chaos Bolt is a guaranteed crit, but every percent of crit you have, so every 110 Critical Strike, you get a 1% linear increase to Chaos Bolt, so 1-to-1. So just comparing mastery and crit real quick, a lot of people, there's kind of always been this like urban myth that crit is like really good for Warlock. And a lot of people fall into the trap of, oh, like, crit's so good for Warlock. Like, it's our best stat. Like, our attunement stat is crit. But if you just do some, like, quick, like, napkin comparison, you're playing Shard Remains. You have a lot of Ember Gen. You're casting a lot of Chaos Bolts. Now, Mastery, 3% increase to your Chaos Bolt per 110 rating. Or Critical Strike, 1% increase to your Chaos Bolt per 110 rating. It's pretty easy to see just how much stronger Mastery is than crit. Mm-hmm. And just in general, intellect, people always mention that at the start. Mastery is so good that it's effectively equal to intellect in high-level gear. I know that you can't really gem intellect or anything at this point, but yeah, they're basically one-to-one. After that, it gets a little bit like you can kind of consider all the other stats to be effectively bad as each other, but just for clarity's sake, like multi-strike is the next best after critical strike. And that's just because it's a good smoothing stat. It's kind of like that for every spec in the game that doesn't have like a unique multi-strike effect. Like multi-strike is just a good consistent stat. Does, you know.
And nothing looks cooler than multi-striking Chaos Bolts.
Yeah, with a little miniature one.
It's
flying
cute
out.
For sure. I really like the Blackrock Foundry set bonus where you got like 3 guaranteed multi-strikes on your Chaos Bolt. And you just see, like, if you got the 2 normal multi-strikes, you just have like a conga line of like 6 Chaos Bolts flying through the air.
That's awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And then after that, you sort of have haste and versatility. And they're basically equal. I would give haste the edge just because if you're multi-specking, which, you know, a decent amount of players do, then haste is typically better for the other two specs than versatility is. But for destruction, they have basically the same value.
All right. So let's start into the rotations then, or priorities, or whatever you want to call it. But single target, what should we be doing?
Right. Well, this is a really good spec to go over that because it's pretty simple. And that's what I like about it. Like I said, it's kind of simple to explain, and there's lots of stuff to work on as individuals. But primarily, you have sort of your, I would say, 7 bread and butter spells. And the very first thing we want to talk about is Immolate. It's a dot. It lasts 15 seconds, and it generates an Ember Bit every time it crits. So with Charred Remains, it'll generate 2 Ember Bits every time it crits. It does have a facing requirement, so unlike most other Warlock dots, you have to be facing the target. And it has a very high DPET, which is a damage per execute time, which means for the amount of time it takes to cast, it does a lot of damage over its lifespan. And you want to keep this on the target at all times. And you can apply this via Fire and Brimstone to AoE as well, but you only want to do that on 4 or more targets. On 3 or less, you would just apply it to each target one by one manually, just tapping between them. And so it's a good spell. Keep it up as much as you can. Some people get a little bit overly fixated on the uptime. Like, basically, it's a do your best to keep this up. But if it's a choice between, like, another high priority thing, like casting a Chaos Bolt with your cooldowns, then you would just let it fall off, finish your cooldowns, and then reapply it when you have a second. After that, your main filler spell is Incinerate. It doesn't deal a lot of damage because of Charred Remains, but it generates 2 Ember Bits with Charred Remains on a hit and 4 Ember Bits on a crit. Sorry, it's the reverse. 1 Ember Bit on a hit and 2 Ember Bits on a crit, and then double that for Charred Remains. And yeah, basically you just cast this to generate embers. You have 2 charges of a spell called Conflagrate. It's an instant cast, and it also gives you a buff called Backdraft, which will reduce... It's 3 charges that you get for 1 Conflagrate, and it reduces the cast time of your next 3... Actually, it works identically to Havoc. The next 3 spells by 30% or 1 Chaos Bolt. So Chaos Bolt consumes 3 charges is the key. And ideally, you always want to use your Backdraft charges on Incinerate, but there's a lot of times where you just can't avoid those charges being eaten by Chaos Bolts because, again, high priority things like Chaos Bolting with cooldowns, Chaos Bolting with trinkets, etc. Chaos Bolt is your main ember dump. It consumes 1 ember and it does a lot of damage. It's fun. Everyone likes it. It is a dragon head that flies through the air. I mean, there's pretty much nothing not to like. And it's Chaos Bolt's awesome. You can cast Chaos Bolt via Fire and Brimstone as well. If you have Charred Remains, and on AoE, it is also a thing to be feared. Other than that, there's, I think, not too much to talk about in just basic rotation. Like, we touch on it more in a little bit because everything sort of works in concert together. Chaos Bolt, one important thing to note as we talk about the next spell, Shadowburn, which also costs 1 Burning Ember. Chaos Bolt is always better than Shadowburn. The only times you ever Shadowburn is when the boss is going to die, basically. Like, if the boss is going to die in the next, like, 7 to 10 seconds, it's kind of just like, okay, I want to get my last couple spells off. And Chaos Bolt has a very long travel time, so if you're standing at max range from the boss, maybe cast 1.5 seconds to get the cast off, then it might take another 3 seconds to reach the boss. So if you're just trying to get the last little bit of damage when the boss is at, like, 0.5%, then you want to switch to Shadowburn. And then Shadowburn also returns... 2 embers, so the ember that it cost and then an additional ember if the target dies within 5 seconds of it being applied. So anytime that there's a target that's going to die and refund embers, that's you would also Shadowburn that to get the ember refund.
That's pretty huge. I always assumed that it was a bit of an execute, so anytime you got within the range to use it, that you would switch to Shadowburn rather than Chaos Bolt. But you're saying that Chaos Bolt is always going to be your go-to until you get down to that last, you know, couple 1 or 2%.
Right. It definitely was that way in the past, in MOP. And the reason was because Chaos Bolt used to have a lower DPET than Shadowburn, meaning that Chaos Bolt being a slow cast, did more damage than Shadowburn always, but the damage per execute time of the spell was longer and therefore lower. But now, not only is Chaos Bolt, like, we have so little crit at this point, even at this point in the expansion, I think, like, my almost best in slot Warlock is still at, like, 15% crit or something. And so we have so little crit that Shadowburn's not really going to crit that often. It's always better to have the consistency of the 100% crit Chaos Bolt.
Yeah, I've always wondered that. That's good to know.
Yeah, on top of that, we have a set bonus this tier that reduces the cast time of your Chaos Bolt by an additional 0.5 seconds and increases its damage by 2%. So this is just like icing on the cake.
So is it good to use the ability, was it Conflagrate, the one that reduces the cast time of Chaos Bolt? Is it good to try and pair those up so you can get off Chaos Bolts a little bit faster then? Or I'm not sure what the...
Ideally, you pair this with an Ember Generating, so Incinerate. Because it just equates to more Chaos Bolts, but there's unavoidable like consumption of Backdraft via Chaos Bolt. Like on the opener, for instance, you'll double Conflag and immediately start Chaos Bolting. Like, there's a lot of situations where it's much higher priority to get Chaos Bolts off than sort of fiddle about your stacks. So that's just something that you can worry about if you really want to be semantical about what's important. But in truth, you don't really have to worry about Backdraft if you're playing Charred Remains.
Okay. Yeah, because you're building those
so quickly.
Building those shards so quickly. Yeah.
Yeah, it's something that sort of takes definitely a backseat.
Well, I didn't know if you know the cast time on a Chaos Bolt is what, 2.3 seconds? 2.8.
By default, should be 2.5, I think.
So when you have the Backdraft, it's like 1.8. Then it shaves it down
quite a bit.
Depending on what current effects you have on you, like you can shave Chaos Bolt. That's actually why it's so much better than Shatterburn this tier specifically, is just because you're getting a Chaos Bolt on average, like raid buffed with that two set. Your Chaos Bolt's going to be like 1.5 seconds on average. And Destruction Warlocks, they have the global cooldown in World of Warcraft is 1.5 seconds. But Destruction Warlocks have a baseline 1 second global cooldown, and that's as a result of our passive chaotic energies, which is what causes your mana to regenerate 600% faster. Mm-hmm. And Blizzard was really lazy about this, so they basically gave you a bunch of invisible haste, and haste increases mana regen passively. so that's why we have a 1 second GCD. And so the fastest you can cast spells is once per second, basically. So if Chaos Bolt's 1.5 seconds, like you're only missing the GCD by an additional 0.5 seconds. So Shadow Bolt is not even that much faster, and it does significantly less damage. So that's basically a black and white comparison of the two.
Nice. So you want to use your backdraft in on building shards, and you don't want to try and micromanage that to the point where you're getting off Chaos Bolts at, you know, a fraction of a second faster then.
Yeah, I honestly would say that, like, unless you're a huge stickler for the details, like, I would just ignore backdraft. I personally don't even track it anymore. It's something that's extraordinarily minor.
I don't know. I recently got my Warlock to 100 and I've been playing him a good, you know, Raid Finder and had some Mythic Dungeons and stuff. And I'm seeing these things and they're all popping out at me like, oh crap, that seems like it's important. That seems like that's something you want to micromanage.
Right. So that's why I say, like, I wouldn't even worry about it, because it's, I think one of the prime mistakes with getting better at a lot of classes is fixating on things that don't matter. They have like very negligible DPS gain, but people that write guides will always like, oh yeah, like you really need to do this. And it's honestly a lot more important to make sure that you're doing the fundamentals correct. Pretty much any DPS spec in the game, if you're playing the spec fundamentally right, you're going to be able to do 95% to 98% of like the maximum potential DPS, and everything else is just like very, very minor things that people honestly do to entertain themselves at high level play. Like, it's just like stuff to keep you occupied.
Well, I mean, if you're trying to parse, or, you know, what, you know, you're looking for every, to eke out every, you know, half a percent, you know, then that's cool. But if, you know, if it really doesn't matter that you min-max this or not, then, you know, we're pretty stinking casual. We don't really, you know, we don't, probably doesn't really matter to Daryl that much, huh?
Yeah, I would
backdraft. I would totally urge everyone that plays Warlock, like, don't worry about it at all. Just if you think every time you cast a Conflag, like if there's no pressing reason to cast a Chaos Bolt, like if you don't have a Trinket proc or there isn't like a target that needs to be burst down, like there's no, and you're not Ember capped, like there's no reason that you have to cast a Chaos Bolt immediately, then you want to use it on Incinerate. But in any other situation where you feel like Chaos Bolt is the go-to, like I need to kill this target quick, I have a Trinket proc, I have cooldowns, like just totally throw that out the window. Do whatever you want.
More Chaos Bolts is better than a couple of marginally faster Chaos Bolts.
yeah, that's the bottom line.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, where are we at? Sorry,
AOE or...
Okay. Let me just clarify really quick why that is. Touching back on the 1 second baseline GCD, if you have that set bonus and you have Conflagrate, like you're hitting the GCD cap, meaning you're wasting a lot of that 30% haste buff. Like you're already hitting a 1 second Chaos Bolt and you have excess haste, basically. Like the Chaos Bolt, if there wasn't a 1 second GCD, your Chaos Bolt might be even 0.8 seconds, but you're wasting that haste because your Chaos Bolt is already so fast.
That makes sense. Okay.
Into the AoE.
Yeah, it's
it's pretty simple. Yeah, it's just like a, it's just a toggle, man. That's so good. You have such an easy life. You're just like, okay, it's time to turn the AoE on. All my spells now hit everything instead of just one thing. Yeah, we have a spell called Fire and Brimstone. It is a toggle. Every Fire and Brimstone spell that generates embers, so Immolate, Incinerate, Conflagrate, those three generators, they cost one ember to cast those spells in Fire and Brimstone mode. But if you're playing with Charred Remains, the threshold to sustain that AoE, to basically be ember positive, is about four targets. So basically you don't want to start going ham on the AoE until four targets, because you're going to be ember negative or ember neutral, meaning that you're not going to gain anything or you're going to lose embers. Now Chaos Bolt, if you're Charred Remains, which we are, costs two embers. So it's important that you are ember positive if you want to sustain AoE, because you're going to have to be always above three embers when AoEing, because you need one ember to generate because all the ember generators cost one, and then Chaos Bolt costs two. So if you ever cast a Chaos Bolt when you only have two embers, then it's going to turn your Fire and Brimstone off, and you're going to have to single target your way back up to one ember, which takes a lot longer than generating embers when you're using the AoE versions of the spell. And then the most important part of AoE, or just cleave in general, I figured this was probably more important to put in the cleavey AoE section, but we have a spell called Havoc, and this is potentially the most important part of playing Warlock well, at least for destruction. And this is a spell that has a 14-second cooldown, a 15-second cooldown, and it lasts 14 seconds. You apply it to a target, and then if you hit another target, it will duplicate your spells onto the target with the Havoc debuff. Havoc has three charges, and Chaos Bolt will consume all three, and any other spell that can be Havoced. So that's your generating spells, Shadowburn, and also Spelllock, which is the interrupt. Fun fact, you can interrupt two targets at once, which most people don't know.
I think I learned that like a week ago, or a week or 2 weeks. It was very recently.
People get stoked about that, especially in challenge modes. People are like, wow, like I can interrupt so many things. Like,
actually, I know where I learned about it. When I was deciding to ask you to come onto the show, I read your article on MMO Champion, and you have it on there. That's where I learned it. There we go.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's
perfect.
Everything in Havoc costs one charge except Chaos Bolt, which eats all three, similar to Backdraft. Havoc, you pretty much always want to spend it on Chaos Bolt, unless you can get two or more Shadowburns off, or you can only get one Shadowburn off, but there wasn't time to Chaos Bolt, meaning like the Chaos Bolt travel time wouldn't have reached the target. Right. Like you could maybe get the cast off, but it flies so slowly that you just wanted to get something extra, basically. And it's a little bit more efficient. Havoc costs 0.5 seconds of a global cooldown, so just 0.5 seconds, basically. And so it's a little bit more efficient to get a Havoc Shadowburn than two Shadowburns on one target, because it's less embers. And basically the way you use Havoc is sort of the bread and butter of destruction on most fights, because there's a few fights that have some sort of sustained mass AoE, like Shadow Lord Iskar, but a lot of the fights sort of have like adds that pop in and out, and they're maybe not stacked enough to use your Fire and Brimstone spells. So the way we use Havoc is totally integral to like maximizing your damage. And as I mentioned earlier, Havoc has a cooldown that's basically identical to its duration. So you can do this pre-Havoc trick where you put the Havoc up really early. You say, okay, this Doomcaller is spawning in 10 seconds. I'm going to put my Havoc on the boss. And then 10 seconds later, the Doomcaller spawns. You have 4 seconds left on your Havoc. You immediately Chaos Bolt the new add. It copies your Chaos Bolt. And then 2 seconds later, you put up another Havoc and do the same thing. And you're basically just getting free Chaos Bolts. Like you're just for applying the spell early.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Havoc is another really good spell that you can use as sort of, I mean, I could talk about Havoc for like an hour, but just to try and summarize, like you can use it as sort of an ember crutch. Like if you've failed, or if you know that you're only going to get maybe one Shadowburn on an add and you're not going to have time to get the Chaos Bolt and have it hit the target. You can also use the charges. Let's say the add is at 25% and it's kind of dropping fast, but you can't Shadowburn yet. Maybe you'll Havoc one conflagrate to get a little bit of extra embers, and then as soon as it hits Shadowburn range, you immediately do the Shadowburns. You can also use it as a crutch if you ever mess up and you're at like 0.2 embers and there's AoE going on and you're like, okay, I just want to get to the AoE ASAP. I don't care about Havoc and Chaos Bolt. Just Havoc some incinerates or conflagrates. Because Charred Remains generates so much embers, doubling that generation again is like insanity. You'll just hit one ember like instantly, like one or two spells.
Nice.
So that's kind of like a forgiveness. I wouldn't do that often, but there's definitely context for it. And then, I mean, yeah, that's pretty much the basic uses of the spell. But you can use it for a lot of more high level optimizations, like as a, you know, you predicting movement. Like I'm going to have to move for a Lure of Flames in 2 seconds. And the death caller is in 10 seconds, but if I hold it just for another 3 seconds, then I'll have a global to use while I'm moving, and that way I won't be doing nothing while I'm moving. Stuff like that can be taken into consideration.
Is Rain of Fire just so neutered now that it's not even really part of the AoE rotation?
Yeah, I honestly, like, there is theoretically a use for it, but
if you have more than 27 targets, then...
No, I mean, I think in Sims, I think Sims value Rain of Fire as 8-plus targets. But the problem is that
that's so stupid. That's such a great spell, man.
It is. I think we're getting a Reign of Chaos in Legion, which is pretty cool. You get like a Reign of Infernals instead of a Reign of Fire. But
nice.
Yeah. But currently, like even on 8 targets, it's usually not worth it because as we sort of touched on about AoE, it's usually brief. And even if it lives for the full duration of Reign of Fire, it's still like there's usually other factors. Like I have Dark Soul up, and inside of Dark Soul, like Chaos Bolt is king, and inside of the ring, the legendary ring, Chaos Bolt is king. Like we're trying to get as much burst damage in these windows as possible, and Reign of Fire is more of a sustained spell. So when people do the math for that spell, or you run a sim for that spell, usually it's on like an extended profile. Like okay, this is on like a long AoE, but if you actually like try and do the sim or the math for a short, like very small window, which is 99% of AoE that we use Fire and Brimstone for, then there's basically zero applicability to that spell, unfortunately.
That's good to know. I always felt like that was my, if you were running into like an opener with a bunch of trash, that you should always start off with that. But yeah, I guess if it's really that bad, then it doesn't matter. Don't waste your time.
It can be used as a movement spell because it is instant. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, like, that's another thing that doesn't really matter. It's actually just something to make you feel good while you're moving. Like if you rain of fire every time you move and then look at the damage it does by the end of a fight, even like on single target, it's like less than 0.01% of your overall damage.
I got the green fire. It looked cool.
Hitting the button.
Nice.
But yeah, so it can be used for stuff like that. But yeah, it's got no practical use.
Yeah, awesome. Man, I remember in in Mist, it was like you laid down Reign of Fire and your embers just
were just generate embers. It doesn't anymore. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I have a question about Havoc before we get too far past that. This happens on occasion where I Havoc the wrong target. Like I set a focus all the time and I have a macro to always Havoc my focus target. But sometimes when my mouse is in the wrong spot, I'll Havoc the boss, and I've got the boss targeted. Now, if I hit the boss with anything, do I lose my Havoc, or can I then like hit the boss with something and then target something else and hit that, and it'll still double cast on the boss?
I think you lose it.
If you're saying like, can you apply your target, your Havoc to the boss, and then keep hitting the boss without consuming the charges? Yeah, yes. Of course.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's okay. Totally, yeah. That's how you take advantage of the pre-Havoc trick. Like you put it on a target and you keep hitting that target, and then when the new target comes out, you immediately switch to that target and take advantage of the effect. But yeah, Havoc will only do the replication or consume the charges when it's hitting a different target other than the debuff target.
Okay, good to know. That's very good to know. Because I always thought I lost it, because it happens on occasion because it's my focus. I've got a focus Havoc macro, so it sets focus, but if I have focus already, if I don't have a focus, it sets focus and does Havoc at the same time. And it's all on a mouse over, but if my mouse is over top of the wrong target just by an instant when I do it, then I always just assumed I lost my Havoc. I'm like, oh man, now that's a waste, but this is good to know that I didn't actually lose it. All
right. Right. Yeah. The only way that you can lose it without consuming it is if a target dies.
Okay. Okay.
Or it expires, obviously.
That is good to know.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm learning and then, all kinds of stuff.
No, it's awesome, man.
Yeah, man. Havoc is a rad spell. I think it's like one of my favorite spells in any game, in terms of like the amount of different uses it has and how flexible a spell it is and the amount of like fun things you can do with it, like with the pre-Havoc. And I don't know. I just think it's a really, really cool. And that's something I really like about Destruction in general. It's a very free-form spec, and there's lots of like guided, like this is like the best thing to do in this situation, but ultimately like the way to play the spec at the highest level is like making the right decisions in the right moment, and there's really no premeditation to it. It's like, okay, I know what to do because I understand the way the spell works.
Well, that's part of the reason I think I can do so well on the council fight, is because there's three targets, and you know, you do one at a time. So when the first one gets below 20%, I'm able to Havoc shadow burn on one of the other ones. And then when the second one gets down to 20%, I'm able to Havoc shadow burn three times, you know, every time I can get enough embers on the last target.
Yeah, but now you don't want to shadow burn, you want a chaos bolt.
Well, not Havoc, though. Well, if you got Havoc.
Two or more shadow burns, you would want a Havoc.
Mm-hmm. So not doing that three times every time I can get enough embers for every Havoc. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that another thing like that I should probably say about Havoc is that it's better to Havoc more. A lot of people make the mistake of like, oh, I don't have an ember. I should generate more embers before I put my Havoc up. But throwing back to the pre-Havoc thing, like it's as soon as Havoc is off cooldown on any fight where you know you're going to be able to use the Havoc within 15 seconds, as soon as it's off cooldown, it should be used immediately. And then you can spend your 10 seconds generating the embers you need and then use it like whenever you feel you're ready. But it should be up, right? Like it,
okay.
That way it's cooling right. down and you're going to get more Havocs in a fight by doing that. But a lot of people make the mistake like, oh, I don't have an ember yet. Like I'm going to hold on to the Havoc and then they generate an ember, put the Havoc up, Chaos Bolt, and then they do the same thing 15 seconds later. And, you know, they're losing Havoc usages over the fight by doing that.
So worst case scenario then is you put it up and something happens and you don't use it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, worst case scenario, you put it up and you're like, oh, well, I don't know, maybe I have to AoE, or, but then you just use it on ember gen or the target dies and you lose it. But yeah, I mean, like you can almost always, like if even if you, the worst case happens, you don't have embers to use it, you're like, okay, I'll just generate embers with this then, fine. Like,
okay, yeah.
Okay.
Because, I mean, Havoc is, like you said, it's so powerful, it's so good. I mean, double Chaos Bolts is ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it's super, super strong, super flexible, and it's very efficient because it has no cost. Like there's no, it's just a 0.5 second global. Mm-hmm. Like it's nothing. Even if you lose it, like you've basically lost no DPS by putting it up. Like it's just a free extra damage.
Yeah. Right.
How about cooldowns? We kind of talked about those a little bit throughout, but maybe take a second, just go over some of the major cooldowns.
All right. Well, the main one is Dark Soul Instability. Dark Soul is shared across all world aspects, but for destruction, it gives you a 30% critical strike for 20 seconds, and you can glyph it to last 10 seconds and have a shorter cooldown. But as we discussed, that's a bad thing.
But you do want to talent it.
You do want to talent the Archimonde's Darkness, yeah. So you have two charges of Dark Soul at all times. This cooldown is a really good cooldown in general. 2-minute cooldowns are the bomb because they're pretty much up for everything. They sync well with other things. Like they pair really well with the Legendary Ring. And having two charges of your 2-minute cooldown is even better because you can pretty much always find a really creative use for the second charge. And it's, again, very efficient because after you use the first charge, you're free to use the second charge whenever you want. And the first charge is still cooling down. You're not losing any uptime. Mm-hmm. This cooldown is basically used on cooldown, at least your first charge. Like if you think of it as having one extra charge per fight, you would always use the main Dark Soul cooldown on cooldown every 2 minutes with the Legendary Ring. You'd want to preempt this by having, you know, 3.5 embers ready to go, roughly, just so that you have the maximum number of buffed Chaos Bolts inside of your cooldowns. You would also ideally want to preempt this by already having a Havoc up so you can get an extra Havoc up inside of your cooldowns. And with the ring, because the Havoc cooldown is 15 seconds and the ring is only 15 seconds. So you would want to have a pre-Havoc so you get two Havocs with your ring. Jeez. And obviously, you would ideally track this with some kind of aura add-on, such as Weak Auras.
Mm.
Otherwise, it's pretty simple.
We have a divided opinion in the house about Weak Auras. Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Let's hear it.
I am a massive advocate for Weak Auras. And a hand is not.
Too, and I man. Say best weak auras are for dude. The weak.
I think I was going to make a weak-minded joke, but I couldn't really like tie it well.
They're so good, man.
I agree,
so
man. Weak auras are for the weak, man. Like, and we all suck, so everyone in the game, right? So it's just like give yourself the crutches, and I mean that's what weak auras is. It plays the game for you. It's awesome. Honestly, I think that's like such a monumental difference between. Just sort of like very high end raiders and maybe top raiders is like how comfortable they are with weak auras and how they use them. For example, I've basically replaced boss mods with weak auras.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I get a really, you know, you get an add on like big wakes or DBM and it might give you like a little ping when you get like marked for death. But me, I know that I never want to forget marked for death. No matter what, I would be so embarrassing if I skewered my raid, right? So what I do is I make a weak aura that's the size of a third of my screen, and it makes a Wilhelm scream when I get marked for death, it's impossible for me to miss that. Like, there's absolutely, I would have to be asleep to miss that. So, and even then I would probably wake up. So, like, so you can do things like that. And same with you can apply that to your rotation too. You can make a cooldown for Dark Soul. Every time it comes off cooldown, it kings you. Every time the legendary ring gets popped, I get a little like fireball sound in my ears. I'm like, okay, like the legendary ring is active. So you miss zero uptime for stuff like that. So it can be a super handy, I think it's like unanimously beneficial for everyone. But it is very confusing of an add-on. So
the great thing about it is that there's people out there who are way smarter than me who have done a lot of this stuff already. So all I have to do is just import a string. And if there's something about it I don't like, where the size of it or where it's located or anything, I can go in and pretty easily change that.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's one of the best parts about the add-on is you can take other people's stuff and you can either keep it as is, but it's pretty easy to like modify it, like just take it and like, okay, this is not exactly what I want. I'm going to change the font. I'm going to move it, like blah, blah, blah. It's easy to play with. But yeah, other cooldowns to talk about. We have a shared pet summon, Doomguard and Infernal. They have a 10-minute cooldown. I guess PSA, Infernal sucks. Never use it.
I was going to say, is there ever a scenario
where you use about
the 10-minute AoE cooldown?
The only time I ever really use Infernal is on trash when we were like maybe pulling like the entire room in like the Cormrock area or something. But there isn't really a boss fight where Infernal is useful. Not that I can think of. Infernal also has, by default, like threatening presence on. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the time, and you can't control the guardians, like the summon Doomguard and summon Infernal. So a lot of times you'll see the Infernal spawn and it'll immediately get threat on something and you'll just see it explode into a bunch of pebbles and you're like, oh, good job, bro. Thanks, buddy.
GG.
But nice. The Doomguard is like, it's all right. It's not super awesome. It does cost a global cooldown, which kind of sucks, especially on the opener. Like if someone pops the ring right away, you kind of have to waste the global casting Doomguard. You pretty much always want to pair your Doomguard with Bloodlust. And the reason is because it lasts a full minute. It mm-hmm. does get the full benefit from the 40-second Bloodlust. And it gets about, I think, like 10 extra casts. I think it's like 17 to 19 casts by default, depending on how soon it starts casting and whether it's in range. And mm-hmm. you can get up to like 27 casts if it has Bloodlust. So it basically increases its effectiveness by 30%, as you would expect from a 30% haste buff. And it makes it...
You said it's not that good of a cooldown?
No, not really. It's
a freaking 10-minute cooldown. That thing should be amazing.
It's a little disappointing, really. But and it's also kind of an idiot. Like, a lot of times you'll tell it to attack... Like, whatever target you're attacking, it's supposed to attack that target, mm-hmm. and it will continue to attack that target, even if the target's immune or... Basically, it'll continue to attack the target until it dies or the Doomguard expires. And a lot of times, it'll attack the wrong target. Like, I remember back in talking about Throne of Thunder, like, on Horridon, it would start attacking the Dire Spirit, which doesn't take damage, even though I told it to attack the boss. Even if sometimes the target dies, it's supposed to switch to, like, your new target. Mm-hmm. So, for example, Valari, if you use your Doomguard on one of the adds and the add dies, it's supposed to switch to the boss. But a lot of times, it'll just stand there doing nothing. Further, so I mean, it's nice. Kind of a anticlimactic awesome. Cooldown, but it is, you know, it is free damage, and it is quite high DPET because it lasts a full minute and it only costs one global, so it's definitely worth using. And it's gains a lot of damage from Bloodlust. So whenever you use Bloodlust, use your Doomguard. Usually, it's okay. The opener, but you know, could be like 30% or whenever the burn phase is or something.
Yeah.
I should mention it does 20% more damage to targets that are in execute range, so targets below 20% health. So any fight that you have Bloodlust in the last phase, it actually can be quite potent, like Blackhand, like a lot of people would Bloodlust in phase 3, and having the Doomguard sort of smacking away on the boss for the whole phase. It's obviously not punished by movement at all. Like sometimes it chases the boss a bit, but mostly it just stands there and casts. So.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And then I guess the last cooldown to talk about is just like your pot. I think a lot of people just forget about your second pot, but it is enormously powerful, especially, again, destruction is all about leveraging procs and cooldowns, and pairing that pot with your Dark Soul and maybe a legendary ring, potentially a trinket proc, all that stuff together adds up to be like an enormous amount of increased damage. And I think a lot of people always forget about the second pot. Like a lot of people buy them, but some people don't keep buying them. Some people forget that they have it, mm-hmm. and that pot is enormously potent, and it's always important to make sure that you are saving that for the time when it's going to have the highest punch, which is during Dark Soul and Ring. The Ring is, I guess, nothing really to talk about. I already mentioned, just use Dark Soul with the Ring every time. And your second charge of Dark Soul, pretty much save that for however you want it. A lot of people, like, that's a very common question I get asked, like, when do I use my second charge? And that's kind of another thing that I said, kind of, you got to just learn to make the right decision with that. Like, every fight's going to be different. Some fights, mm-hmm. your guild is going to be stuck on one ad, and this ad is wiping you. And, like, mm-hmm. the Doomfire just needs to die. The third Doomfire, it's taking so long. Okay, maybe I want to use my second charge on there. Oh, like, the boss is at 1% every time. Like, we need a little bit more in the burn phase. Maybe I want to use my Dark Soul there. If it's on mm-hmm. farm, find creative uses, like AoE, maybe leverage a little bit more damage if you're going for parses. But primarily, you want to use that when your guild is struggling.
You got stuff like Zul'Harak where they, you know, there's two large adds, you know, that you need to burn down pretty quickly.
Exactly. Yeah. There's lots of ways to find creative use for Dark Soul. And because it does increase your critical strike by 30%, which we discussed increases your Ember Gen. Mm-hmm. It's quite a good cooldown on fights like Zul'Harak where there's a lot of AoE on Zul'Harak. There's a lot of toggling Fire and Brimstone on and off. But because you have a 30% increased crit during Dark Soul, if you are using it on the AoE, like to help burn down the imps and stuff, mm-hmm. you're going to be able to cast a lot more Chaos Bolts during that cooldown, because every time you cast an AoE Ember Generator, it's going to be generating a lot more embers than it usually would. So you'll have to cast less generators and more consumers. So that's a huge exponential benefit on AoE.
So you think maybe it would be a bad habit to get into just using them back to back then?
It's absolutely the worst thing you can do.
Okay. I haven't done that, but I could see myself going up, it's up again, better, you know.
Mm-hmm. For the other specs, it's a different story. Like for Affliction, like the best use of your second charge is generally back-to-back inside of Lust. But for Destruction, like I said, it's all about leveraging procs in concert with each other. So you want to be tracking your trinkets, and maybe your second charge, you're like, okay, there's some AoE. I just got a Desecrated Shadow Moon Insignia proc. I'm going to use my second Dark Soul to pair with that trinket. And that's something I didn't mention. This tier, we have that trinket, the Shadow Moon Insignia, lasts 20 seconds. Really goes good with the 20-second Dark Soul.
Awesome. Very cool. I think one of the big things that one of the main things, one of the things Daryl was really excited, both of us were really excited to have you on the show, was since some of the changes in Warlords, Destruction Warlocks are not really that mobile anymore. So what tips do you have for high movement fights? If we know that the Kil'jaeden's Cunning really isn't an option anymore.
Well, I would say the big three for Destruction are Havoc usage, Ember management, and movement management. And I think people don't give movement management enough credence. Like, I think it's, for Destruction, like probably 30 to 40% of the skill cap, just for casters in general. It's like one of the huge parts of the skill cap. People totally don't think about it, and not as much as they should anyways.
I don't.
And there's no like quick and easy fix for it. It really is how you think about the game, and you just have to start to think about, okay, how can I make QOL on this fight go up? And a lot of that comes down to fundamental positioning. Like on Archimonde, for example, the heroic strat for that boss involves most guilds moving the boss back and forth every time there's an allure. Mm-hmm. And so in one direction, you can put down a gateway, and then the other direction, you can put a personal portal. And since the allure happens every 45 to 50 seconds, you're going to be able to have an instant movement for every single one of them. Like you gate once and then port back on the next one, gate back the next one. So you always will have 40 yards of instant movement. Mm-hmm. Alternatively, you can just position yourself kind of in the middle between the two points. And that way, when the allure happens, you only have to take one or two steps left or right. I generally like to sit on like one conflagrate charge. So if I have to take two or three steps, I have something to cast during that movement. Mm-hmm. And usually that amount of movement, like 10 yards, takes like about one global, like one second basically. So, you can do that. I would say be careful not to overuse Burning Rush, cause it does cost a global cooldown. So if you're not moving for more than a couple globals, then it's not really worth it to waste that single global turning on Burning Rush.
Okay.
One tip with Burning Rush is that you want to turn off secure ability toggle, which I believe is under combat, but I can't remember. There's a setting in your default interface settings called secure. Oh, it's under action bars. I'm sorry. It's called secure ability toggle. And what that setting does is when you toggle an ability on, it basically gives that ability like button immunity for a couple seconds, so you can't accidentally turn it off.
Oh, gotcha. Oh.
Yeah. So like some players like it for like metamorphosis. So if they turn in, they don't instantly turn out if they're spamming their button. But you want to get used to being a little bit more precise with that stuff. And Burning Rush, you want to be able to turn it on and then turn it off after a second or two if you need to, and not gotcha. Be forced to have it sitting on for a while.
Okay.
Rain of Fire, real important. Make sure to drop
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
It's huge. Use that while you're running around screaming Rain of Fire.
I think Demonic Circle is one of the biggest things and probably the most underused of all the Warlock spells. And whenever I'm coaching someone through Warlock, I always like harp on about that a lot, like Gateway and Circle. And every Warlock's like, oh, yeah, like I know. But you'd be surprised how many people either don't use it at all or only use it like once or twice a fight. Yeah, it's like Gateway in particular. I mean, the portal is excellent. Like, it's so good. But if you think about Gateway in terms of a raid cooldown and like how if you compare like a cooldown like Diva Aura, like a 30% reduction to magic damage for like six or eight seconds or something to a 40-yard movement, like the entire raid can take instantly. And then you apply that to your strategy making for the guild, like the strategy craft, then it's insane like how potent 40-yard movement for the entire raid instantly can be. And if no one in the raid wants it, or you can't devise a strategy that makes very good use of a gateway, that's 40 yards instant movement for you. So you just find a clever place like, okay, I know at this part of the fight, I've done a couple pulls now, and it's kind of irritating when the train comes on Thogar and I have to move to the very far side of the room. This is probably a good place for a gateway. And you want to use the portal to the same effect. Do a couple pulls. Like, for example, on Menoroth this tier, a lot of guilds have a stack point for the Gaze of Fear so that they all go in the same direction. You can put your portal down on the stack point, and that way, anytime there's a Gaze, you can just portal in instantly. And if you ever get Shadow Forest, you can use your portal to get to the right spot so that you don't get pushed in an odd angle. There's a whole bunch of really creative uses for it, and I encourage everyone to explore that because how you approach fights with movement is one of the huge keys as a caster, regardless of your spec, to doing like a lot more damage than other people. Especially as destruction, though, because Chaos Bolt's not a fast spell. You don't have any forgiveness. Like mages have ice flows where they can sort of get away with a little bit of movement casting. Whenever you're moving, you have absolutely no spells to cast other than Conflagrate. And because you have a 1 second GCD, that only covers like a really short bit of movement. So you have to get really creative with your portal usage, your gateway usage. It is good to save one charge of Conflagrate and really think about where you position yourself as a player, like relative to the boss and relative especially to your strategy, because every guild has their own unique way of boss movement and, you know, which phase goes where. And you want to always put yourself at a very good middle ground where, like, if the boss is moving from point A to B, you kind of want to be between those two points. And that way, when the boss moves, you don't have to move. You just rotate with the boss.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I never used those, like, ever.
You're going to have to put those on your bars now, huh?
No, I would say Demonic Circle is, like, the big one because it really offers a lot of short cooldown, instantaneous. It's like Blink, but a lot further.
Right.
And having a premeditated, like, this is my spot. I like to use it a lot for demolition on Blackhand. Like, the entire group would have to move, and then as soon as you're halfway through the demolition, you just port back instantly and avoid all the new demolitions. You can use it, like I said, Menoroth is a great fight for it. Tyrant is a really good fight for it. Like, if you ever get the Edict, like, a lot of guilds will sacrifice the Edict of Condemnation. Just circle out instantly and die off on your lonesome. There's of like infinite amount of uses for that spell, and it's really only limited by your creativity.
The last time I remember like effectively using it was Kargath, when I'd set it up behind the pillars, so if he ever did charge me, then I just use my circle behind the pillar, and then he hits that, and then good to go, carry on. But that was the beginning of the expansion, so I haven't really used it since then, I don't think.
Yeah, this tier, I would say it gets a lot of use on just about every fight. Like Cormorant, you want to put down your circle wherever your stack point is for the hands. And that way, when everyone's spreading out for pound, and the dragging hands come, you can just demonic circle onto the stack point and not have to run. And then it's obviously great on Iron Reaver. If the barrage ever comes, instead of having to run out of the barrage, just maybe circle to the other side of the boss, like somewhere where you know that cleave isn't going to hit you. Hellfire High Council, a lot of times you're running it to drop Reap. Either circle out or circle back. I like to circle back because that way there's no chance of a Reap being put on you.
See, I don't.
Killrog is perfect. Like Killrog, you can gate out with the Heartseeker and then circle back to the group.
Okay, we did use the gate for that.
Heartseeker. Yeah, you can basically reduce movement to zero. Gorfiend, particularly on Mythic, there's usually a stack point to drop the images. Even if there isn't, it's really good for either circling in for Feast at the stack point in melee, or just kiting the skeletons. Iskar is the same. Like if you have the range stack point for the Shakrams, just circle out, gate back. Sakrathar is really the only fight where I can't think of like a really stable use for the circle or for the gateway, because the position that room is massive and the positioning changes based on where the portals are.
Mm-hmm.
But every other fight, like Fel'Lord, you can use it to get out for seeds. Zul'Harak, put it in melee, and every time you run out with the surges, you just circle back to melee. Tyrant is the same thing, and then Menoroth we discussed. Archimonde, you use it however you want. I like to use it to move for a lure, and then I gate the other one, and that way you always have instant movement for that. And another actually kind of cool use for the Demonic Circle in Archimonde, you can put it in the melee or on the tanks, and if you ever get Shadowfell bursted, if you Demonic Circle instantly, you'll just land on the tanks and split the damage with them, and because they're tanks, they won't die. So that's a pretty good way to Shadowfell burst. Like usually you're just floating in the air for like 20 seconds. So it's a good way to like sort of increase your uptime on the boss.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's like mind blown right now.
Spent a lot of time thinking about it on progression. So.
No, that's awesome. That's the kind of thing I need to learn. Cause that's exactly it. Like as soon as it's a movement fight, my DPS just tanks. But then even Council, where I normally do very well, you've already mentioned something in there where I kind of use one of these. And that's like, oh, that's genius. Yeah.
There's actually a glyph that I forgot to mention that works well with Circle. And it's called Glyph of Eye of Kilrog. It's a minor glyph. And people kind of laugh when I'm like, yeah, you should have a keybind for Eye of Kilrog. But yeah, I actually use Eye of Kilrog like during fights pretty often this tier. So what that glyph does is when you use Eye of Kilrog, your eye can now drop the demonic circle.
That's, oh my gosh.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's, yeah, the eye moves really, really fast. So there's some fights where, like, I'm standing at ranged and I want to put down a circle on the other side of the room, like Menoroth, but I'm afraid that if I move over there, I might do something that wipes the raid, like if there's a mechanic that splits damage with other people or something, or like a chain lightning. So you can use the eye to go drop a circle.
Oh,
and sometimes,
that's awesome.
Before fights, you sometimes want to drop in a demonic circle underneath the boss, but you're like, okay, I don't want to walk up there and get instantly killed. The Eye of Kilrog doesn't aggro bosses.
No, because I'm casually working on the Green Fire quest, and that part where you have to like go through that invisible maze where you have to use the eye to see your way through it, I couldn't figure out for the life. I was just getting pissed because I wasn't being very patient with it, and I just kept dying. And
yeah, it makes that quest so much easier because you down a circle and just port instantly. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. It's particularly useful. Like, it does have some really niche, like I said. Sometimes you use it during fights, but primarily you can put down circles. Like, no matter how close you go to the boss in the Eye of Kilrog, the boss won't attack it. So you can put down circles, like, right underneath Tyrant Valari or something if you want to and not have to worry about getting beaten down.
Wow.
All right. Well, I had no idea that was a glyph, man.
That's so amazing.
Changes everything.
It's a good glyph.
Okay, well, that definitely falls under advanced tips and tricks. Are there any others? That was awesome.
Yeah, are there advanced tips and tricks? I don't know. It's like I said, it's a very free form spec. Like, those are all the tools, but the spec is really about using your tools in concert with each other and using them effectively. Like Havoc usage we talked about, like there's obviously basic Havoc usage, and then there's like, okay, I can use this spell in a million different ways. So it's really just being creative with that kind of stuff. And the pre-Havoc was one that I probably would put in there that most people don't do, but definitely a tip and a trick. And the Kilrog thing is pretty good. Otherwise, I think it's a very, very straightforward spec, but with a lot of stuff that people just don't think about. Like they understand that the spell can do that, like when they look at the spell, maybe in the spell book or something, but when they're doing the fight, they don't think of the application. So really just taking everything we talked about and actually thinking about it when you're doing the fight is important. Like, okay, my second charge of Dark Soul, like we have these adds coming in. I need 3 embers before I use this Dark Soul. Otherwise I'm just going to be generating embers while I'm casting. Like a lot of people don't prepare, and Warlock is a class that is, almost entirely about preparation and forethought.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's awesome. And, I do need to start tracking my trinkets. That's something I also don't do. And I know I should. So
right, yeah, it's imperative. I would say like recommendations, and definitely something I always talk about when I do like a coaching session with someone, is having a really good set of keybinds and a really good UI is paramount to success. And I know I already touched on Mikoras a little bit, but if there's one thing I could recommend to like aspiring raiders, people that want to like, people always ask me like, what's the best way to climb the mythic ladder and stuff. I would recommend anyone that wants to do that, that Mikoras is your best option for becoming a better player, or at least like reminding yourself to use spells that you often, you know, brain fart on. Make a weak aura for yourself and make it as big as you need it to be. And as you get those habits into muscle memory, it's something that you just do by instinct. You can reduce the size and maybe just get rid of it entirely once you feel like it's just ingrained. But mm-hmm. It's definitely like something to train your brain to remember to do things.
Do you have a weak aura strings and that you have like on your side or that you have available anywhere?
I do. I have a pastebin that has a lot of different things in it, from boss weak auras to like the Archimon radar to mm-hmm. the Warlock weak auras. It's just pastebin.com/u/Ferdy. But if people can't remember that, just in my Twitch stream, you just type !auras and there's a link to it.
I know that Daryl would like them if he had found the right ones. I just don't think.
Probably.
I think, honestly, like having class weak auras is great, but once people fully understand the potential of weak auras as like a boss mod tool, it's something that definitely just makes you better, whether you like it or not, because you can make things so in your face and so, and they don't necessarily have to be obnoxious, but something that you can't miss or has a helpful just ping. I think that audio cues are huge, and people underestimate how just a little like sonar ping in your ear and you're like, okay, I'm ember capped, I need to dump now, or just minor stuff like that. Like make them as you need them, but the audio cues is something that's huge too. And in weak auras, there's a huge default library of preset sounds, and you can also import any texture for icons, or you can import any sound. Like if you wanted to make boss mods, you could literally import your voices being like, move to square now, and put that on the weak aura. And everyone in the raid imports the weak aura, and they just hear your voice saying that. So there's like infinite things to do with that add-on that are pretty cool.
Interesting.
That's amazing.
All right. I'm trying to think if I have any other questions. This was a lot to take in. Like I think I've learned quite a bit that I did not know before. I have stuff to work on.
Well, I think the whole point was that you've been playing this class in spec for a while now, and things have changed, and you just wanted to up your game.
Yeah.
The thing is a positive.
And the biggest is movement. Like that is really the biggest. And I didn't even think to use like Demonic Circle and Gateway to make that way easier. All right.
Definitely something that a lot of people struggle with, I think. And mm-hmm. so when I do coaching with people, and I've done things on the stream in the past, like what I call Warlock workshops, where people send in their VODs and I look at them on stream and we all sort of look at it together and I talk about it and point out mistakes and point out possible improvements, and people in the chat can comment as well. Movement is something that I'm always like very critical of, because there's lots of times I think the worst crime that so many players, probably everyone to a certain extent, does is just what I call like movement noise. Maybe the boss moves like 8 yards because the tank is just doing something, and then the player will mirror that movement even though they're still well within range. And you don't notice it until you watch a video of yourself play, but people have I would say 90% of players have a high amount of movement noise where they're just moving for no reason. Like literally, no, they'll just take a couple steps. Like boss will move, or they think they're not in the right position, they'll just take like 3 or 4 steps, interrupt their cast, take a couple steps, and maybe moving side to side between casts a little bit. And like being self-conscious of that and reducing that noise to 0 is another huge key in just making sure that you're casting spells every global instead of you know, canceling spells or just missing globals by a little bit. Like making sure that you have every time you're off global cooldown that you're hitting a spell is imperative in achieving like the maximum output.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Rob, do you have any other questions?
No, man. That was perfect. That was awesome. I think you hit all the notes.
I'm sure I'll have some later. I have to play a little more and try and put some of this into practice. But
well, I'm always available and handy to answer questions. So
awesome. Well, if you have anything to add to this topic or have questions about future topics, please feel free to send us an email at the show at thetrainingdummies.com or leave us a voicemail at thetrainingdummies.com. We need to rephrase that.
It's so awkward. It feels weird. It's every time I read that, it seems weird, redundant.
I know, totally. All right, my hand love this week, pretty much same as always. My guild over on Deathwing had one job, as well as our raid team, Team Crab Dick. And of course, I need to send some hand love to Ferdy for coming on the show this evening and helping me up my game, because I definitely feel I needed to. So thank you very much, sir. That was awesome.
Thank you.
Definitely echo what Daryl said with the guild and everything, because we're still in making some progression. This last week we got through two more progression bosses, and it was a lot of work, and we had we had been doing something wrong and had to figure it out and work our way around it, but we did it. So definitely the guild, all the folks out there on Twitter and Facebook and all you guys, it's still fun interacting with you, even though I normally 90% of what I say is stupid, but it's still fun. So. Ferdy, how about you? Do you have any shout outs?
Team Crab Dick, dude. What a name. You guys watch Seth Park at all?
It's been a while, but yeah.
I think like you should search the Crab People song. That could be like the perfect theme song for that. Just amazing, man. As for shout outs, I don't know. Shout outs to my other Warlock bros in Serenity, Sparko and Fabo. Miss you guys. See you tomorrow. And all the other Eero dudes in Serenity. It's been great raiding with them and looking forward to what we can do next expansion.
Awesome. Well, before we wrap this up, can you let us know where to reach you if we have any other questions?
Yeah. I'm pretty active on Twitch, just twitch.tv/FurdyIRL. And my Twitter is the same. Either of those is fine, but if you want a detailed response, Twitch is usually better because you can just talk forever on Twitch, but I only got 128 characters on Twitter, so...
Right. Well, I believe that wraps up episode 113 of the Traming Dummies. Training.
Rad.
I know, right? So many tongue twisters on the show, but you can find this in past episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, or thetrainingdummies.com. So until next time...
It's advice you can trust from people you shouldn't.